So, yes, the IFA organised a big general election set piece on Thursday for the general election that we can't say is coming, but we all know is coming. And the Taoiseach joined IFA President Francie Gorman on stage in a packed main hall at the Curragh Racecourse while he set out his stall on what it would take to win farmer support at the polls. Francie Gorman, President of the IFA, joins me in studio this morning. Very good morning to you. Thanks for coming in to us.
Yeah, good morning, Philip. It's good to be here.
10 months into the job, Francie, nobody would envy you because there was an awful lot of chickens that were ignored for a very long time that have come home to roost now in what's going to be the lifetime of your presidency. What are you most worried about?
I suppose the bears of it, you'd be most worried about income and the issue of regulation and the cost of doing business has come up time and time again. And look, for me, this job is about taking on each issue that comes every day you get up. It's not about looking behind. And I suppose over the course of the 4 years, if you can deal with each issue in as efficient manner as possible, you'd hope that when the 4 years are up, you'd have made a difference. And I think, to be fair, with our current Deputy President, Alice Stiles, she's the first female lady elected to a senior position in the association, and the NOC we have in the council staff, I think we've made a fairly good start. But
a lot of concern in that room on Thursday about the derogation, the nitrates derogation, and the possibility of losing it. Before we get into the policy stuff there, can I ask you a personal question on water quality? You've noticed changes, haven't you, in what's happening in our rivers?
To a degree, I do. I think the one thing that struck me from a child when we were born beside the river is there seems to be a lot less of a volume of water in the rivers now, and particularly when you get through the summer. I think the wildlife around it is similar to what it was when I was growing up as a child. And I know that one of the first ASAP schemes that took place in our area, which would be a good land, well farmed area with slope and countryside down towards the river. And yet, when that programme was over, they were able to show the water quality and the wildlife around the river had shown an improvement.
Okay, in your area on that stretch of river, but that's not the picture nationally. Does that worry you?
Probably not the picture in all the rivers, but what it does show is that if investment is put into the likes of those schemes, that it can make a difference. And we've met the EPA on a number of occasions, me once, but our environmental committee led by John Murphy have met them on a number of occasions since the beginning of the year. And probably the take-home message for me from those meetings and talking to the lads after they've been down was the fact that maybe we weren't quite doing the right things at the right time in the right place, and the EPA would say that some of the measures that we were doing maybe weren't going to achieve what was hoped for.
And a lot of stuff has been done, and I think everybody would have to credit the progressive farmers who have taken those measures on board. But the problem is the results aren't yet showing any uptick, any significant improvement. So that means, all likelihood, you're going to lose this derogation come January 2026.
Well, I think, number one, in terms of trying to achieve an improvement in water quality, we have the fourth best water quality, groundwater quality in Europe. There's an issue around the estuaries, but even our estuaries are still, in quality terms, way ahead of a lot of the estuaries when they're measured around Europe. And I know people go on about the derogation, but If you just look at it at face value, if we have the fourth best groundwater quality in Europe and we're one of the only countries with a derogation, is it fair to say that the derogation is the cause of it? And Chagas, okay, the science would say it's not. But
hang on a second, because here's the point where you and I could get into pantomime season a little bit too early and we could end up doing, oh, yes, it is, oh, no, it isn't. But let's just take as accepted that the Commission is saying, no, Ireland, you haven't shown us enough of an improvement, the improvement that you promised when you got the derogation 18 years ago. So I'm afraid logic suggests it has to be taken away from you.
So there's a point in that, Philip, to be fair. And what we have to do is show that we can improve water quality. And I think that across the board, from farmer to processor, right through, that maybe we didn't take it seriously enough. And maybe the review in 2022, and we would say it was a flawed review because it didn't give us enough time, but maybe that was a wake-up call for everybody. And there's no doubt that we have a whole of industry approach now with the farm organisations, Meat Industry Ireland, Dairy Industry Ireland. We know the value of it. And the measures that have been taken on farm now, I think if they're given time, will show an improvement. But will it happen in time for the end of 2025 when the review is going to be announced? Maybe the improvements, we won't reach our dead target. But at the same time, if we're shown an incremental improvement, and that maybe the likes of the EPA can look and see at what's been done on farm level.
So what you're asking there, Francie, is for people to say, for Europe to say, that's okay, Ireland, keep on doing business the way that you're doing. But no, I can tell you that what they're telling us, you know, when we put this suggestion to them, is they say, no. 18 years ago, you promised that there wasn't going to be an impact on water quality. There has been. So now it's up to you to prove to us why we shouldn't take the derogation away from you. And when you have improved water quality, give it back to you.
No, if you take the derogation away, it's going to have a massive impact on production levels. It'll have a huge knock-on effect economically, both in rural communities, at processor level. And what we're saying is that we need just a little bit extra time. I genuinely believe that the work has been done through the industry to show an improvement. And it does take time. And I think, to be fair, Philip, if you go back, particularly in the last 10 years, while water quality might have gone up and down, it has generally stayed stable. And we have good water in this country. And people kind of forget
Francie,
that.
Actually, in fairness, what has happened is that in some places it has, in fairness, improved. But in the areas that are overlapped by really intensive agricultural production, it's gone down.
In some river catchments, not in all. And we know that where you have a group of farmers that come together in something like an ESIP scheme, And take on board the advice from your ESIP advisor, you can make a huge improvement in water quality in those rivers.
We could argue the toss on that for a long time, but let's just talk about what might happen now come January 2026 if you do end up losing it. There are many farmers who could be looking at falling off a cliff edge. So is it not a more prudent strategy for the IFA to say, let's find an off-ramp, let's go and negotiate a transition out of this derogation scheme now so that we don't fall off a cliff edge?
Well, I think that comes back to time. If you climb down it, you'll get to the bottom a lot slower than if you fall off it. And I think that's what we need. We need time to show that those measures will take effect and deliver that improvement.
Okay, but then are you not like the grand old Duke of York marching them to the top of the hill?
No, I don't believe that. But I think when you get to the cliff edge, you've got to see how you can get down to the bottom in the safest possible way. And that means slowly but surely.
Okay,
and
I think, so does that mean that you are open to looking at a plan B?
Well, we're open to seeing how we can get to a stage where we can show that what we do at farm level will deliver an improvement in water quality. And I think you're going to see over time. It's only less than 10 years ago that milk quotas went. And the advice that farmers were getting at the time was to drive on. And to be fair to the best farmers, always took the best advice. And the best advice now is to try and show, in terms of water quality, to show an improvement, to take on board those measures. And I think if farmers are given time, you're going to see a transition.
Okay, but the interesting thing
that time has to be given.
That you say that, but the progressive, young, dynamic farmers that we're talking to say to us they've seen the writing on the wall and they have adjusted their businesses to start farming as if the derogation was gone already. And they're doing that and they're viable. They're putting food on the table. They're sending their kids to college. Is that not the more prudent course of action for the IFA to encourage farmers to go down?
There is no farm over the last 15, 20, 30 years that I know that has been better off by selling less, by reducing production. And even if you look at the direction of cap funding over the course of the last 20 years since decoupling came in particular, you've seen a huge shift of money away from those farms, and they depend almost totally now on the level of production on their farms to provide a viable living. And to be fair, if I had the choice in the morning of having the stock in the field to be able to sell my cattle or sell my milk and depending on a scheme that's there for 1 year, or maybe not there the following year, I would like to have as much control of my business as I can. And that means that you keep production levels up. But look, we're not looking for an out here, Philip. It's important that every farmer listening to us here this morning understands that we have got to take on all those measures in the Chagas Better Farming for Water programme, that we listen to the likes of the EPA and that we take the advice from them. And I would have heard it time and time again about wastewater treatment plants and water treatment plants at municipal level. And there's no doubt there's an issue there, and that has to be addressed. And it would be a shame if we lost our derogation down the road because we couldn't improve water quality and that wasn't taken into account.
You took a fair swipe at Ishka Éireann, actually, the other day. Is that something that you're entirely comfortable doing? I mean, farming is the greatest source of water pollution. Ishka Éireann is doing things that they say themselves are unacceptable. But is it a good look for farming to be saying, no, don't look at us, look at Ishka Éireann?
Well, I think the point is, and Primetime did an expose on it last week and showed the effects of an outbreak at a wastewater treatment plant. I think it's fair to point it out, but I still keep saying to our members, any meeting I go to, that if we focus on that totally, we're in the wrong space. When you go out to Brussels and you sit in front of DG Envy, they don't want to hear Francie Gorman talking about a wastewater treatment plant in Port Leash.
They want to hear him talking about what farming is doing. So let's just get back to that for a second, because there is a feeling abroad as well that in making the argument for maintaining herd sizes, for keeping all of those extra cows brought onto farms since 2015, that what the IFA is doing is representing the interests of the processors and of the factories, because it's they that need the extra cows to keep the factories busy. When it's fairly well established, despite what you're saying now, that there are many farms that feel we can be viable without all of those extra cows.
I think we'll disagree on that one. There's no doubt that the processing industry needs the product, and the processing industry provide huge economic value in rural Ireland.
Mm-hmm. Are you representing their interests rather than farmers' interests?
No, I think on this we're all in it together, to be fair. And look, my view on it is that if you take that economic value out of rural Ireland, and we hear it time and time again, you should diversify into this, diversify into that. But when you ask people, what exactly will you diversify into that will provide the same security of a livelihood that, you know, commercial farming can provide for your family? No one can tell you.
I'm going to take issue with you on that, because, again, and I'm only going on what we're hearing from the farmers who speak to us. They say, do you know what? A little bit of forestry in the portfolio, maybe a little bit of solar panels here and there, maybe not just dairy, but some sheep or some dry stock animals as well. And they are, as like I say, putting food on the table and sending the kids to college.
They might be, in a lot of cases, supported by a lot of off-farm income, but in general the trend has been around the world over the last 20-30 years that if you want to stay farming, you have to specialise. I mean, I'm farming at home not in a very intensive way with sucklers. We have sheep, we buy in cattle. It's probably more your traditional dry stock type of farm, and I can see with the cuts to supports that we've endured over the last 20 years, that system of farming is under huge pressure. And look, if I could get an easy out, Philip, I would. Farming's a tough life. I mean, most of the people, a lot of people could be listening to this programme this morning, non-farming people, but certainly farmers under tractors, their milking parlours, looking after their stock. And it's a tough life, and it's a lonely life, and it's a hard life. And I suppose our ask, and I mentioned it the other day, is that we just want people to try and make it a little bit easier. Take on board the fact that in good faith we are doing as much as we can to improve water quality. Give us the time and see. Finally, and I'll admit that maybe we took our eye off the ball, if you go back 10 years ago, took it for granted that we'd always have the derogation. That's no longer the case, and there's no doubt that there's an amount of work being done. And in fairness, I think, and you heard the Taoiseach say the other day, one of her asks was that he would put on the green jersey, chair a cabinet subcommittee, which he has agreed to do. And I think on foot of that, along with the measures that we are taking at farm level, we need to see the support, investment put into nutrient storage capacity is probably the big answer long term down the road, that we could use our nutrients at the right time of the year. And look, right place, right time, right measure.
Francie Gorman, thank you very much for joining us in studio this morning. Doors open anytime. Francie Gorman, President of the IFA.